This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us, only sky.
Heathen, infidel, or hellbound atheist, it's time for Radio for the Rest of Us. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, inviting you to our slightly irreverent news, views, music, and interviews.
And I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist of the airwaves. This is the weekend of August the 27th, 2011. And we are broadcasting, Free Thought Radio is broadcasting from Madison, Wisconsin. And by the way, to get to the studio, we've had to drive clear across the country.
Well, Dan, it's only 6 miles.
Well, 6 miles from our office, that's right, but it's 12 miles round trip. And this is our 279th show, which I think comes out to more than 3,300 miles
wow.
We've driven. Just to give this show for you listeners, we broadcast in Atlanta, besides Madison, Wisconsin, in Atlanta, in Grand Rapids, in Monterey, and very early in the morning in New York City.
Some of you may know Free Thought Radio is the weekly production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. We are the nation's largest national association of freethinkers. That means atheists and agnostics, explicitly atheist and agnostic non-theist types. We have over 17,000 members now. So if you're not a member, we hope someday soon you will join us, and we work for separation between religion and government, and we are really the only free thought group out there that regularly acts on violations of the separation between church and state. We have painstakingly grown enough to accumulate enough resources to be able to hire a legal team, and we have 3 at the moment staff attorneys, interns, who are fielding complaints every day from people around the country about religion and government and acting on them. And we also have taken more than 50 lawsuits. And we also have national campaigns such as the Out of the Closet billboard campaign to promote acceptance of freethinkers. So we're doing a lot for freethinkers, and we hope you will join us.
And if you are a member of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, thank you. Thank you for your support and for helping us make this world a better place. In a minute, we'll be reporting on FFRF's significant victories that Annie Laurie just talked about, just in the last week, halting religion in the public schools.
And before we do that, I do want to say a quick hello to my newfound friends there in New Orleans, who hosted me last week to speak at their annual anniversary dinner for the New Orleans Secular Humanist Association.
NOSHA,
and they treated me like a queen. I guess there's a Mardi Gras queen. Like a visiting dignitary, and fed me powdered sugar beignets and New Orleans coffee and pralines, and took me to the Latin Quarter and Bourbon Street and all that, and I had a great time.
And you heard a lot of Katrina stories too, didn't you?
Mm-hmm, very compelling.
Coming up for our interview on today's show, in the second half of the show, is a California teacher who just won a case before the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. The advanced placement European history teacher at Capistrano Valley High School in Mission Viejo, California, had called, during one of his classes, he had called creationism superstitious nonsense, and he was sued by one of his students. Well, just last week, the Ninth Circuit just exonerated Dr. Corbett, and we can't wait to find out more about this fascinating case.
And we haven't really talked to him yet. And speaking of schools, the school year hasn't begun yet in many parts of the United States, but already FFRF has been besieged with requests for help to stop violations of religion in schools, some of them coming from teachers, some from parents, and some from students.
So there's some significant victories by FFRF, decisions by school districts following our complaints, decisions which we can say amen to, which are keeping religion out of school events. as required by the U.S. Constitution and decades of clear Supreme Court rulings.
So let's listen to coverage. That's WYMT-TV out of Bell County, Kentucky, where FFRF senior staff attorney Rebecca Markert had sent a letter and stopped a violation there this August. The school was hosting Christian prayers over the PA system, prayers by local pastors to offer prayers to Jesus to start football games in the school district in Pineville, Kentucky.
Some say it's a way of life on Log Mountain. Good evening, everyone. I'm Steve Hensley. Leading our news tonight at 6, Bell County High School football games normally start with a prayer over the loudspeaker. But that was missing from Friday's home opener. WYMT's Kendall Downing joins us now from the Cumberland Valley Newsroom to explain why in tonight's top story at 6.
Steve, the school district received a complaint from a national organization, and after showing it to their lawyers and then to the state, they decided to get rid of the prayer.
Before anyone takes the field,
it's certainly not our choice to discontinue the pregame prayer.
They usually hear a prayer, but not anymore. Bell County Schools received this letter from the Freedom from Religion Foundation earlier this month. It instructs the school district to stop what the letter calls a flagrant violation of the law, a prayer before the game given by a local pastor.
The Supreme Court has settled this question. In case after case.
The letter cites a number of Supreme Court cases where school-sponsored and even student-led prayers have been found unconstitutional. School officials sent the letter to their attorney, who sent it on to Frankfort. Last week, state attorneys confirmed the school's pregame prayer is against the law.
School leaders say they didn't let anyone know there wouldn't be a prayer because they didn't want to take attention away from the game.
The foundation says the complaint was filed by a concerned family whose identity they will not reveal.
And complain on their behalf because they feel too vulnerable.
The attorney indicated that that if we try to fight it, that we couldn't win. There was no way we could win the suit because of the previous court cases.
A time-honored tradition that appears to have come to an end.
You know, we've always taken a position, and we're going to do it until somebody makes a stop, and apparently, it appears that time has come for us.
Meanwhile, school officials are considering other options, such as a moment of silence.
Did you hear that during that segment that they mentioned our letter? They slapped it on the table. You hear this big slap. We got this letter from us. And did you hear what Superintendent George Thompson actually said? Brian, can you get that clip and play what he said again?
You know, we've always taken a position, and we're going to do it until somebody makes a stop. It appears that time has come for us.
So, wow, what is so troubling about this case is here's a superintendent freely admitting to media that he knew the practice they were engaging in was unconstitutional, that it was a violation and a no-no. So what kind of message does this send to students, you know, that you can break the law so long as you don't get caught? This was illegal, and the superintendent knowingly was inflicting exclusively Christian prayers upon a captive audience of football players, banned members, the audience, people of many views and no religious views at all. So what a contemptuous message that this was sending about the superintendent and the district's views toward this, what should be a revered principle of separation between religion and government. So I think I was appalled.
And then another football issue in another state. This is DeSoto County in Hernando, Mississippi. Our staff attorney, Stephanie Schmidt, sent off a letter on behalf of FFRF to complain about Christian prayer starting football games there. And we also heard that students were encouraged to pray at mealtimes and at graduation ceremonies. FFRF put a quick stop to football game prayers in DeSoto County, Mississippi. And here's a little bit of the coverage.
Separation of church and state is at the heart of a complaint against DeSoto County schools. It centers around prayers said over loudspeakers before school events like football games. A Wisconsin-based group is insisting the district obey a previous Supreme Court ruling and stop the practice.
But parents say the group should mind its own business. Dennis Turner says they're not ready to back down. Dennis.
That's right, Claudia and Richard. A lot of DeSoto parents tell me they like the idea of prayer, and they'll fight to keep it. But the law may force the administration to back off its policy on the matter.
Kathy Bogrand says she's fighting mad at a Wisconsin-based group's demand that DeSoto schools end prayer before school events. She believes it's one of the good things about the schools here.
I think it's ridiculous, and I tell them to bring it on. I think we should fight it. And if we have to be the first ones to do it, let's do it.
But unfortunately, DeSoto wouldn't be the first. In case after case, the Freedom From Religion Foundation has gotten rulings as high as the U.S. Supreme Court that school-sponsored prayer is unconstitutional.
And this involves prayers to Jesus over the loudspeaker, and that is a constitutional no-no. It's a very settled question. There should be no prayer, no government-fostered, encouraged, hosted prayer going on in our public schools.
So based on complaints, Gaylor's Freedom From Religion Foundation sent this letter to DeSoto Superintendent Milton Kirkendall saying, "We ask that the school district commence an immediate investigation into the complaints alleged and take immediate action to stop any and all prayer occurring before any athletic events and graduation ceremonies." Kirkendall says the matter is in the hands of the school board attorney.
This is the kind of thing that if we sued over it, we would win. It would cost taxpayers money, precious money that should not be wasted.
For now, it seems likely that the days of school-sponsored prayer may soon come to an end.
So they did come to an end. In fact, we were informed by reporters this week that the school board on Tuesday in DeSoto, Mississippi, Hernandez area, Mississippi, DeSoto County, reaffirmed a policy that they had actually adopted 8 years ago banning any school prayers. But isn't it a pity that they don't monitor their own policy and that this violation would have been going on for so long, but we have stopped it.
And isn't it also interesting that here's these significant Supreme Court cases establishing a clear precedent, and yet we have to go around the country putting out these fires. Why can't the Supreme Court send a memo to the principals and say, hey, by the way, stop doing this?
Well, that's not how it works, but the superintendents could certainly send out memos, and we will be contacting all the superintendents in Mississippi, Kentucky, and Louisiana, just as last year we contacted all the superintendents in Tennessee to remind them of the law against a prayer in school, including commencements in football. So hopefully that will help. Now, when we come back, we're going to talk about some other recent school violations FFRF has complained about, the Bible says there is nothing new under the sun. As usual, the Bible is wrong because every day it seems like we get a new violation of the separation of church and state we would never have imagined. And you won't believe one of the complaints out of Louisiana that we'll tell you about.
And we'll also tell you about FFRF's newest billboard that went up this week in Middle America.
I'm State Senator Ernie Chambers from Nebraska. I'm on Free Thought Radio, which is like an oasis in the Sahara Desert.
This is Free Thought Radio with your hosts, Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor.
Passo pitches, William swings, there's a high drive going deep, deep. It is a home run.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And that was a bit of a broadcast of baseball's hitter of the century, Ted Williams. His birthday was August the 30th, 1918. Ted Williams was not religious. He made some comments. He once said, "No one could throw a fastball past me. God could come down from heaven, and he couldn't throw it past me."
My dad, who died this spring, was also born on August 30th. He was born in 1926. I don't think he realized that he shared his birthday with Ted Williams, but that would have pleased him.
Well, your dad was a heavy hitter in the free thought movement. We are pleased to report that FFRF's debut signature billboard, which has a stained glass window motif and says, "Imagine No Religion," went up this week by the fairgrounds in Terre Haute, Indiana. It's the first time we've been in that city and the first time FFRF has put up a billboard in Indiana for 2 years.
And we do want to thank our benefactor there who wants to remain anonymous. And she paid for the month-long lease and helped us find the billboard. And that's really appreciated because there's lots of billboard demands and not as many billboard benefactors. And we're glad to have a billboard up in Terre Haute because two of FFRF's original national officers, C.J. Richards and Margaret Richards, lived there. They worked with us in the back in the late 1970s and the 1980s. They have both since died, but they would have gotten a big kick out of this irreverent message going up in such a prominent place in their hometown.
And if you happen to be in the area of Terre Haute, it's off US 41 at the far north end of the fairgrounds, and it's lit up at night.
And we do have about 250 members in Indiana. It's not a strong state for us. We have about 17,000 members nationwide. So there's a lot of religionists in Indiana. There's a lot of state church violations. So we hope that we'll find some more freethinkers to join FFRF in our work in Indiana.
How about a billboard in Indiana that says, "Who's your favorite freethinker?" Well, it's been a busy week, as we've been mentioning, for our legal team. It's always a busy week for our legal team. We want to congratulate them for a legal victory in the public school district in Nantahala, South Carolina, which agreed to better monitor invited speakers at graduation ceremonies following an FFRF complaint. The Reverend Daniel Cowboy Stewart prayed, told the students how much they needed God and Jesus. He called the devil a roaring lion and tied up a volunteer student with ropes, stuck a sack over his head, and said, "This is a metaphor for how the devil is out to destroy you and tie you up."
Or how crazy religionists are out to destroy our public schools. Among FFRF's most bizarre state church complaints that we've taken recently involves officials in Opelousas, Louisiana. Now, that's pronounced Opelousas, but it's spelled with an O. And this is over a principal's involvement, or I should say over-involvement, with a Roman Catholic blessing of his public school. The principal, whose name is Rodney Johnson, permitted Reverend Jason Mangaluth, a priest from the Holy Ghost Catholic Church, on behalf of the Blood Covenant Women of the Cross.
The what? What?
The Blood Covenant Women of the Cross. Doesn't that sound like a fun group to belong to? They allowed them to enter the school and bless every inch of it. They invited faculty, students, and teachers, none of whom came, but the congregation came, and they recited the Lord's Prayer. And they gave, the priest gave a liturgy, and they sprinkled holy water in offices, classrooms, halls, meeting rooms, as followers chanted the priest saying the Hail Mary. And the superintendent told media that the priest had approached him for permission, and the superintendent had refused that permission and apparently hadn't realized that the priest just went on to the principal, and the principal gave him permission. So we hope that in the future this problem is going to take care of itself.
So we're kind of out of time. There's a lot more violations. We reported on teacher orientations in churches and the imposition of Christian prayer on public school employees. Last week, we talked about Pascagoula, Mississippi, where the principal called a prayer session where everybody bowed their heads and prayed. And we can indeed take prayer out of public schools. Religion in the schools is divisive. It usurps parental authority and interferes in students' rights of conscience.
And we also have an active complaint going in Cedar Falls, Iowa, over direct funding, subsidy of churches building additions, doing improvements in churches because they want to put a four-year-old kindergarten there. We have a news release up at our website at FFRF.org over that violation, and that involves over $61,000 in money, almost $62,000. And this is a rental situation, and there's been no sunlight, so we're working on that. So who's that coming up, Dan?
We'll be talking with a California teacher who was recently exonerated by the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, which says he does have the First Amendment right to criticize creationism in the classroom. He was sued by a student of his who quit the class. It's been a long battle, but stay tuned to hear more of his scary story.
Find out more about Free Thought Radio and the Freedom From Religion Foundation at FFRF.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. This is Free Thought Radio.
Hello, this is Janine Garofalo. Are you tired of right-wing politicians who desperately want to impose their religious beliefs on the rest of us? I know I am. That's why I'm asking you to support the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Join the fight and call the Freedom From Religion Foundation toll-free at 1-800-335-4021. That's 1-800-335-4021. Or visit the Freedom From Religion Foundation website at ffrf.org. That's www.ffrf.org. Proud to be an atheist, Janine Garofalo.
Ask for a sample issue of Free Thought today and find out more about the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And there's a story we've been hearing about for the last 4 years about a teacher, a high school teacher in California, who was sued by one of his students because he made some comments critical of religion. And we're very pleased to have that teacher with us today on the phone. His name is Dr. James Corbett. He got his doctorate at Ohio State. I was just out there, and we had some billboards up in Columbus, didn't we, just recently. He now teaches at Capistrano High School, which is in Mission Viejo in Southern California. He's an advanced placement teacher. He teaches social studies, history, art history, etc. He was sued by a student named Chad Farnan, who was in his advanced placement European history class, for saying, among other things, that creationism is nonsense. James Corbett, the teacher, didn't ask for the fight. The student sued to have him removed from his job. Well, the student alleged that there were many other objectionable remarks, but the judge threw all of those out except for the creationism remark. And so let's let Jim tell us a bit more about the story. Welcome to Free Thought Radio, Jim.
Thank you. You know, it has been a long story, but basically, you know, the listener should understand that in 23 years here, I've never had a complaint except from Chad Farnan. And Chad Farnan is a narrow-minded religious fundamentalist, in my judgment, incapable of critical thinking on anything that has anything to do with religion. And he went to a group called the Advocates for Faith and Freedom, which calls themselves a Christian legal ministry. Now, Chad got, and he admitted under oath that this was true, he got a letter home over the summer, because I send all the students that are going to be in my class a letter. That letter says, I go out of my way to be very provocative. If anyone has any concerns about anything that I say, I give the students my home phone number. I give them my home email address. I tell the parents in the letter that they should contact me if they have any concerns at all. Neither Chad, nor the advocates, nor Chad's parents ever bothered to contact me. The first time I had any idea that Chad had a problem was when I got called to the principal's office, and the advocates were there with reporters in tow, dropping a lawsuit on the principal's desk and then walking outside and doing a press conference on the steps of the school, during which they begged for donations to continue working for Jesus. And, you know, frankly, if you ask me, their entire so-called legal ministry, it's nothing more than a scam.
A fundraising,
They know exactly what kind of buttons to push to get right-wing Christian fundamentalists to donate.
Okay, but they did.
Liberal teacher and so on.
But they did win the case, didn't they, at the first level?
Well, no. I mean, yes, I should say yes and no.
Could I interrupt before we go any further? Let's just, we forgot to tell the listeners in this segment that you just won the appeal before the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals on August 19th. So what we're doing is going through the whole history of this. But you do have a nice legal victory, defended by Erwin Chemerinsky. So that's pretty amazing. So now what we're doing is having you tell the story of what happened originally.
And as you just said, you're right. Judge Selna said that my use of the phrase superstitious religious nonsense was unconstitutionally hostile to religion. Now, the problem with this is, and if there are listeners out there who are attorneys, they'll understand, the my lawyer, who was my first lawyer, who was appointed to me by the school district, he advised me that the law was on our side and that our best tactic was to go for a summary judgment. And further, he said that here in very conservative Orange County, the chances of winning in a jury trial were questionable. So I agreed to go for the summary judgment. What I did not know, and what he didn't tell me, is that when you ask for a summary judgment, the law requires that all of the facts as presented by the plaintiff must be accepted without challenge. Now, the fact of the matter is, the phrase superstitious religious nonsense did not refer to creation science, although creation science is superstitious religious nonsense. I'm not backing away from that. 20 years earlier, a Christian fundamentalist teacher in this school was teaching biology, and he was teaching creation science. I was the advisor to the student newspaper, and the editor wrote an editorial saying, "He's teaching religion, not science." He sued me and several other people for defamation, claiming that I had defamed him in his profession by claiming that he wasn't teaching biology. When they called all the people up to the principal's office who were sued by this guy, John Pelosa, the first thing the attorney said is what attorneys always say: until this case is over, I need you all to make no public statements. At that point, I stood up and I said, "Listen, I'll sign a statement releasing the school from any obligation to defend me, but I will not allow John Pelosa to propagandize kids with his superstitious religious nonsense." Now, in Chad's class, a student asked me about that lawsuit, and I explained to him what happened and used that phrase in relation to John Pelosa's teaching, not specifically to creation science. And in fact, the court agreed and threw out John Pelosa's lawsuit, saying, "You are teaching religion."
Yeah, I remember that case.
So I was basically prosecuted for telling the truth, as far as I can see.
And you were asked by a student.
Yes, and I was asked by a student. I was answering a question. And now, the other thing that a lot of people don't understand is that California has a state law. You may not record a teacher without the teacher's written permission and the principal's written permission. And Chad came in and recorded me surreptitiously and then edited the recordings and released them to the press.
Wow.
So now you said, you started to say that when you were being pressed to agree to summary judgment, you didn't know that that meant you had to stipulate that none of the facts were contested. So did that mean that, what does that mean? Why was that a problem for you?
It means that every assertion by Chad had to be taken as factually accurate. And that meant, in my view, that Judge Selma made his decision based on something that could have easily been disposed of had I been given the opportunity to say, "Wait a minute, I didn't just randomly say creation science is superstitious religious nonsense. That was a reference to John Pelosa."
So that never...
That never was cleared, huh?
So it's not like you were this angry atheist teacher using your class to bash religion into all the students.
If that were the case, I mean, I've been here 23 years. This is my first complaint. You know, and I live in an area with a large Mormon population, a very large fundamentalist population. I mean, it's absurd to make that argument.
Well, this legal group was just looking for a target so they could take a case to fundraise with, basically.
Yeah, well, I don't think there's any question about it. That's exactly what they're doing.
So it's a complicated case, but what happened at the lower level?
Well, as I say, at the lower level, the judge listened to all the things. I mean, they accused me of being hostile to religion for calling Rush Limbaugh a liar. Honestly, that was one of the statements that they claimed was proof that I was hostile to religion. They claimed that a statement that I made, it had to do with correlation is not causality, the explanation of correlation is not causality. And I said, you know, for example, a lot of people think that going to church makes you more moral and creates a more stable society. And yet, if we compare Sweden, where in Europe the fewest people are likely to go to church every Sunday, with the United States, of all industrialized nations, has the highest percentage of people going to church every Sunday, you find that the society that's most stable and has the least crime is the society where people don't go to church.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm not implying, and in fact I said it, I'm not implying that going to church makes you a bad person. I'm just saying that people who assert there's a causality between church going and morality are wrong.
It sounds like you're guilty of being a good teacher, basically.
Well, I got a 90% pass rate on the AP exams, and the national average is 60%, so something's working, but I got real smart students.
And some other
I love taking credit for their work.
In some other context, you said something about when you put on your Jesus glasses, you can't see the truth.
Yeah, that's a perfect example. They pull this out. The judge, fortunately, was able to discern what was really going on. What I said, the reference was to Joseph II, who's an 18th century Austrian monarch, who tried to close the monasteries and distribute the land to the peasants who were being held in virtual servitude to the monasteries. The church, of course, didn't want to lose all that land and didn't want to lose the slave labor of the peasants. So the church, with access to the peasants on Sundays, put Jesus glasses on the peasants, and they couldn't see their own best economic interests. In other words, the peasants end up opposing the closing of the monasteries that are holding them in slavery, because they believed their priest who told them the monarch is going against God.
Yeah, and you were not attacking any students in the class. You were simply, in the context of history, making a comment.
I've never attacked a student in a classroom in my life.
So
that charge is the most offensive to me.
So what happened then is that although you lost at the trial level, didn't the judge throw out all of the allegations against you except one?
Yeah, he did. And, you know, worse, from my point of view, and frankly, I think Judge Selna did this consciously. He said, okay, you know, what you said here was actionable. However, you couldn't have known that it was unconstitutional when you said it, so I'm not going to levy any penalty. Well, the law says that if you haven't lost anything, if you haven't been penalized, you don't have any right to appeal. So if the advocates had not appealed, this case would have stood with me appearing to be what Chad Farnan and his lawyers claimed I was.
Really? So luckily they didn't like the fact that the judge had thrown out the other charges against you and they appealed to the Ninth Circuit.
Huh. Well, and we were allowed to cross-appeal on the other issue.
So we are talking with teacher, much, much persecuted teacher, I think, Jim Corbett from California, about this saga that he had to go through when a creationist student sued him. And, you know, we've already given away that it's a happy ending, that he was exonerated this month before the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. But we're going to hear about what happened, how he hooked up with Erwin Chemerinsky, one of the greatest legal minds of the century, to defend him on his appeal. And so stay tuned. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And I'm Dan Barker, and we'll be right back with Free Thought Radio.
Hi, I'm Dorothea Harlow from Fox River Grove, Illinois, and I'm on Free Thought Radio.
The things that you're liable to read in the Bible, it ain't necessarily so. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And I'm Dan Barker. And we've been talking with Dr. James Corbett, who's a teacher at Capistrano High School in Mission Viejo, California, about this ongoing saga of how he was sued by one of his students for supposedly bashing religion during the class. And we got to the point where he lost at the court level, but now let's talk about your victory. How did you find Erwin Chemerinsky to represent you?
Well, he found me. I mean, he's another man, Craig Johnson of Tenor Johnson, in fact, a devout Mormon, contacted me and just offered his services. And then he contacted Chemerinsky, and Chemerinsky agreed to represent me. His knowledge, his ability I consider myself a fairly smart guy. I watched him walk up before the Ninth Circuit with no notes, do 20 minutes of explanation, giving chapter and verse and case and page number, answering questions from the judges with a precision that was amazing, and never a note in his hand. Nothing.
That's what everybody says about him in every context.
He was on our show about a year ago.
Yeah. And he has a great book on the Assault on the Constitution, if I've got that right.
I read it.
Yeah, and well, so you really lucked out, huh? That must have been...
Yeah, I did.
A great thing. And so he, what did he do for you? What was the game plan?
Well, yeah, you know, really, I only had a couple of meetings with him. He pretty much did it all himself. Craig Johnson of Tenor Johnson did all the legwork, the filing of the papers, and making sure we hit the deadlines. And Chemerinsky just, wrote the appeal. And you couldn't have a better advocate than Erwin Chemerinsky. He was just fabulous. And Craig Johnson, boy.
So you had a Mormon who believes in separation of church and state, and there are a few.
That's
good to know.
That's great.
Now, how did Chemerinsky and you get around this problem that you had essentially agreed to facts without you had stipulated to facts that you really wanted to contest?
I don't know all the legal machinations that went on, but basically, initially, the advocates had claimed that there was a pattern of hostility, and that's why they listed those 22 statements. And qualified immunity can't be asserted if it's a pattern, but for a single statement, it can be asserted. So initially, we didn't claim qualified immunity, and Chemerinsky, in fact, thought it should have been claimed at the outset anyway, but Chemerinsky was able to get the court to see that given the fact that 22 statements were thrown out and only one was left, that I should now be allowed to assert qualified immunity, even though I did not assert it at the trial level.
And for listeners who might not know, what does that mean, qualified immunity?
Well, it means that I had to know what I said was actionable when I said it. And as a government actor, that's a pretty high burden of proof.
So this was a way of actually sidestepping the merits, the dangers of going into the merits then. Is that right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think part of this problem, and it's a problem I think for teachers all over the country, and I sort of wrote something here, it's very short, that deals with it, because I've run into this problem all the time. You know, and I know, that American law gives no special place for religion. Even, in my view, even calling Jesus Christ is favoring Christianity's myth.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
And one person's religion is another person's superstition. So to Jews and Muslims and Hindus and dozens of others, the New Testament is Christian superstition, just as their views are superstition to Christians. So when a government actor refers to religious belief as superstition, I think he's actually showing respect for all by favoring none. Hmm. American public schools have Jews and Hindus and Baha'is, and in fact, 276 other recognized religions. Chad and his ilk would demand a special place for their views. But in America, all beliefs are supposed to be treated equally by government, and these people just don't understand that.
Including non-belief, including, I take it that you are an atheist.
Right.
And a non-believer, and so are many teachers. That's the most common profession of the membership of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, teachers.
What a surprise.
In public schools and college, we have lots of professors or retired professors as well. And while they know history like you do, they read, they're knowledgeable. The more educated you are, the more apt you are to disbelieve. So tell us how you feel after winning at the Ninth Circuit.
Well, yeah, as I say, anybody who thinks this battle's over is wrong. I mean, teaching, history, you can see that the road to human progress at all times, all the way through history, the road has been guarded by a well-armed phalanx of priests and rabbis and pastors and the rest who have opposed every advance in the human condition. And so anybody who thinks that any of these issues are ever going to be laid to rest needs to understand that the bread and butter of these people demands that they oppose any movement forward, because their position is that God is unchangeable, and therefore if you want change, you must be in league with the devil. Now, that's really the way these people think.
I want to ask you, in light of your victory this month, it was on, I think it was August the 19th, have you heard from any other teachers who are breathing more easily that academic freedom is still protected in this country?
Yeah, I've probably had, 50 emails, but most of my colleagues here at school, they approach me verbally, and I understand. I mean, you don't want to put it in writing. I think most teachers would not have gone as far as I went. I mean, I'm not putting them down. I think the people who can fight these kinds of fights are the ones who should. There's a lot of people who, everything was on the line there.
But you didn't ask for it. You didn't ask for the fight. You didn't. What else could you do? You were sued.
Well, no, because they came to me several times and offered settlements. You know, they said, look, if you'll apologize, we'll drop the case.
Yeah, how could you do that?
And that's what I said. I said, no, you picked this fight. Well, you wanted a fight, you got one. And they came back with three different times. They came back with offers to settle, and I just said, no, we're going.
Well, they picked on the
wrong fight. We're fighting.
They picked on the wrong person. And we want to congratulate you again. We're talking to Dr. James Corbett, teaches advanced placement, knows his stuff, has been exonerated for free speech, academic remarks, should never have been sued. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you, James. And also, as always, we want to thank our producer, Brian Tarani, who engineers the show here at the Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1 in Madison, Wisconsin. Listen to all of our past shows. Go to ffrf.org/radio or listen to all the podcasts by signing up for the podcast.
Ask for more information at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. We have current issues, a very lively August newspaper. You can get a sample at 1-800-335-4021. Tune in next week for more Rational Radio and Blasphemous Broadcasting.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.